Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Welcoming Jean Marks, the small business columnist for the Guardian newspaper, the UK edition, the US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer. We go immediately to retail sales reported these last days. The increase is striking. In fact, Wall Street was ready to use the word surprising. Inside these retail numbers, of course, the price of gasoline, the price of food services, everything returning to people attending their hotels, their restaurants, travel. But, Gene, a very good evening to you. And the question the Wall Street Journal asked earlier this week, provocative, are we too gloomy given these retail sales and given our expectation of Christmas where when the going gets tough, we go shopping? Good evening to you, Gene.
John, it's great to speak with you. Are we too gloomy? You know, when we look, and we'll be talking about some other economic numbers, but really a lot of the numbers themselves are quite positive, even compared to, if you're comparing them to last year at this time, which obviously we were still in a pandemic year. But are we too gloomy? You know, the issue that the businesses that I speak to are having right now is more frustration than gloominess. They see what the increases are. Like retail sales are up 14, almost 15%, but they were above last year. Almost 2% over September. So the consumers are out. They're spending money. There's production itself is up. The labor unemployment rate is going down. There are more people entering the workforce. Although the issue that I'm getting from my clients, if you're a small business owner, is there's still too much headwinds right now when there really shouldn't be. And what I mean by headwinds is we're facing obviously the continuing supply chain issue, 150 ships still off the coast of California. We are still suffering with inflation and continued inflation that's no longer transitory. A lot of those retail sales increase, by the way, John, like you mentioned in your introduction, were related to like gas stations and to food services and drinking places. I can assure you that they've all increased their prices. So I don't know if that's actual volume or just price increases affected in there. But business owners are frustrated. There's mask mandates and changing rules, potential vaccine mandates looming. Like the coronavirus doesn't seem to go away, even though 60% of this country is vaccinated. The chance of there being the kind of pandemic that we saw in 2020 are really in our rearview mirror. People are still uncertain as to how that's going to affect consumer behavior if there's another surge of the Delta variant. So, gloomy, no, frustrated, yes, is what I'm saying. The numbers you would think people would be celebrating, but there's just too many other uncertainties right now that are holding businesses back from truly growing and profiting. That's how I read it.
Let's go global before we come back to national. Global, the Baltic Index is at a five-month low. I will ask you what that means and add in this detail. What we're getting from Europe right now, this is the Financial Times reporting, is a series of decisions made by Western European states, which are heavily vaccinated populations, all debating what is to be done with the unvaccinated. How do we go through our Christmas season? That debate is underway right now. Germany is concerned, especially because of the hospitalization of the unvaccinated. That is a story that has not been resolved in the U.S., but there's anecdote to say that what is happening is the increase in positives, not deaths, but positives, is because of a variation of the Delta variant. That's not science yet. That's just chatter in Europe. However, What starts in Europe doesn't stay in Europe. So let us anticipate. There's a global hesitation. What is the Baltic Index, Gene? How does it work, and what does it mean for us?
Yeah, I brought it to your attention, John, because I watch the Baltic Dry Index. It's a daily index of transportation prices, freight prices, actually, through the Baltic Sea, which turns out to be one of the most frequented areas in the world of commerce between Asia and Europe and ultimately over to the U.S. When the Baltic Index itself is falling, that means that the The price of freight is falling. And when you see the Baltic Dry Index start going up, it means the price of freight is going up. Now, the Baltic Index has fallen. It's now at a 5-month low. To me, and this sometimes flies in the face of, you know, what other economists think, but, you know, it tells me there is less of a demand for freight, you know, for transportation, for freight, you know, for shipping, because if there's more of a demand, that itself would be, you know, creating higher prices. I like to see the Baltic Index rising, because the Baltic Index, when it goes up, means that more people are shipping stuff, which means they're driving the price of freight up. And I think that's a good sign for global shipping. Some people say, like, oh, the price of freight is coming down, so that's a great sign for inflation. But I'm not so sure I read it the same way. So to get back to your original question, now with Europe having its concerns, there are still lockdowns and outbreaks in parts of Asia. I'm still not seeing a recovering in shipping of products, which concerns me that we're not going to be able to have the supplies that we need to continue to meet consumer demand over the next few months. So I'm keeping a close eye on this Baltic Dry Index. I want to see it go up. I'm not afraid of higher freight costs if it's indicative of higher demand.
Some good news. This is a mixed picture. It's what Gene and I push through each week to understand not just the confidence of the American consumer, but also the professionals. This is Gene's favorite metric, design services. What does it look like, Gene, and what does it mean?
It's the American Institute of Architects. Love this metric. It tells you what architectural billings are from all their member architectural firms. And although it moderated a little bit in the last month, it's still at a strong level. Real estate, John, is doing quite well, the real estate industry. And I'm actually working on an article right now for the Philadelphia Inquirer, where I interviewed a few, and we'll talk about that maybe in the coming weeks. I interviewed a few brokers of leases, for commercial leases, in the Philadelphia Mid-Atlantic area, and they tell me they've never been busier. There's not enough office and warehouse space around. Prices are going up, and people are leasing this stuff like crazy. And you would think that everybody would be just working from home, but they're telling me that there's a demand for offices, and it's keeping them busy. And this architectural billings index, it kind of speaks to that. There is a demand, or is being made by our architects right now, to design new commercial spaces. And we're seeing that right now in the design phase, which is going to turn into new commercial space, hopefully, in the next year or so. So that's a good sign for the construction industry, and also kind of flies in the face of everybody's fears of the whole world is going to be working from home and it's going to shut down all offices and buildings. That's just not what's going on right now.
Housing and builder confidence. Gene, I've had a vision of builders. They, in fact, are the Delphic Oracle. You know, when you climb the steps and go in and pass through all of the tributaries where you pay homage to the Delphic Oracle, there's a builder sitting there, and you say, are we confident? Are we not confident? Are we doing well? What does the builder say now that we've traveled to the Oracle?
Oh, in the residential building market, a bunch of data came out this week that just continues to underlie the fact that the industry is growing and growing strong. There are now more housing units under construction right now than since 1974, when I was just 9 years old. That's how long it's been since we've seen these many houses under construction for people. And because of that, it should come as no surprise that the National Association of Home Builders, which publishes their Home Building Confidence Index every month, that is up very strong as well. Yes, of course, the builders are having the same issue that we're all having right now, which is affording the materials. And also, finding labor. But there are some bright spots in the construction industry, John. Whereas the price of lumber skyrocketed during the summer, it has actually decreased to the point where the cost of lumber right now is actually about 14% lower than it was a year ago. So the lumber supplies are getting to the builders, and that's a good sign for the construction industry. And when it comes to labor, yeah, they're still having a hard time finding good people, but as I mentioned earlier, the people are starting to come back to work. The stimulus and other benefits are running out. The holiday season is going to start depleting some savings that a lot of people have built up. Schools hopefully will be fully reopened without the uncertainty of people leaving, having to leave work to attend to their school kids. And so we're going to be seeing more of those workers coming back to work. And I think that the construction industry are going to be snapping up a lot of those people as they return to the workforce. And they're going to need them because there was a lot of demand for housing and there's a lot of production going on. So it's a good time for the construction industry.
Let's check in on one more metric that Gene is keen on. When the extraterrestrials finally land, they will not say, take us to your leader. They will say, take us to Vegas, because that's a measure of how well we're doing. Gene, you traveled to Vegas recently, often. How's it doing?
So I was in Vegas last week, and then I was in Vegas this week as well, and I'm going back right after Thanksgiving. So here's my report for Vegas. It's busy, but it's not as busy as it was in 2019. I realize that sounds anecdotal, but every time when I would go to Vegas anywhere from 5 to 8 times a year, John, every year for different conferences, and every time I went, honestly, regardless of the time of the year, it was always hustling. And to me, it's the taxi cab index. When I get to the Vegas airport in 2019 and the years before that, I would have to wait, regardless of the time I arrived, 20 minutes in line for a taxi cab. The last two times I went, where I arrived at two different times of the day, I didn't wait more than a minute. I just went on and just jumped on a cab. There was a line of them waiting for me. The taxi drivers tell me that they're busier, but they're not as busy as they were before COVID. So that's what we're seeing in Vegas. It's actually a great time to go and a great time to have a conference because you're not dealing with all the craziness that Vegas always was in the past. Ultimately, Vegas will recover and come on back. But like I said, they're not at the levels that we saw before COVID.
Gene Marks, he's the small business columnist to the Business of America's Small Business for the Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, and other distinguished publications. When we come back, small business faces a test coming up soon enough in the holiday. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if your top salesperson was 1,000 times more efficient? And what if a limitless digital workforce helped your number one find leads? A super team working 24/7 on their behalf. Thinking, acting, and solving complex tasks so more deals closed. What if with every sale, each customer felt like they were the only customer? That would be one very efficient sales leader. Now, imagine if every person on your team worked to the power of 1,000. They can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.